Well, I'll get started anyway. Rodrigo. Oh. So my name's Alan Atkins. I know most of you, and you know, I imagine I've met or at least seen most of you before, and so glad you could come. It's the first time I've done this on Zoom. So it's very interesting. Hope you're doing well and are safe and not sick. This is really bizarre time. You know, my heart goes out to all the people that are ill, and if any members of your family or friends are ill, and when people are losing jobs and worried about financial things, it's extraordinarily difficult time. But one thing, I was listening last week when Kathy was on, and I completely agree with her first statement, is as sad as all the things I just mentioned are, this might be one of the best times for awakening. A friend of mine who meditates a lot said he thought of it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because he didn't have to go anywhere. He wasn't going to work. So even among all the bad things, there were some good things that you know, he was really trying to take advantage of. And so hopefully some of you are doing the same. It's a bizarre time. One thing I noticed still on that topic is, so the health company that I have is Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they send out these health alerts. And so it was interesting. They said 10 ways to protect your mental health while social distancing. And number one on the list was quiet your mind. And here's how they described it. Mindfulness and meditation, which is obviously exactly what we're doing, are two simple but powerful ways to help you sleep better, increase your peace of mind, both of which make you stronger during difficult times. So, you know, 40 years ago, if this had happened, no one would have mentioned mindfulness or meditation. And now it's nice to know that it's in the society enough that, you know, somebody like Blue Cross can just mention it. So what I wanted to talk about tonight was an aspect of mindfulness meditation, which is paying attention to what I'm going to call the knowing quality. People use different names for it, but it's another thing to be mindful of. And so I'm going to get into more of the details of that a little bit later. But whenever I start to talk about something or think about something, I think, how does this fit into, you know, the normal Buddhist things that I like to study? And so, you know, does it fit into the Four Noble Truths? I think it does. And, well, actually, so I saw this one thing. So one of my favorite books, I Am That, I think I talk about it every time I talk. And there's newer versions of it. So here's a guy, Nisargadatta. He's not a Buddhist, but he's from India. And he says the first three noble truths in two sentences. And I just love it. So you can tell he's coming from the same place. So let me find, here are the two sentences. The entire universe of pain, so he's got the suffering part, is born of desire. There's the second noble truth. Give up the desire for pleasure. There's the third one. And you won't even know what pain is. So without really even being a Buddhist, he just gets right to it. Another thing that I like to test is this, does it fit in at all with the seven factors of enlightenment? I love those. If you don't know what they are, you can go online and find them. According to Buddha, if these seven factors were in perfect alignment, then that would be the right field for awareness and enlightenment to show up. So the first one's mindfulness. Everybody knows what that is, or you wouldn't be here. And the second one is the another of the two that I'm dealing with tonight. It's called investigation. I love this second factor of investigation. It's not sitting and thinking about it, but it's while you're meditating, can you tap in and investigate something you're looking at? And it's not like you sit there and write paragraphs about it in your brain. You know how sometimes if you want to think when you're meditating, you'll just keep thinking and thinking. That's not what they're talking about. But can you actually just tune in and investigate? So what is this? What's going on here? What is this? And so that form of investigation, I think, is really important. And then the last thing that I always like to test against are the three characteristics that Buddha said were incredibly important to pay attention to. One is impermanence, one is unsatisfactoriness, one is no self. This knowing really takes you to impermanence, and I'll talk about more about that in a minute, and it also helps with the no self, in my opinion. So, how do we do this? Well, when you first learn meditation, and we're not going to take any giant leaps here, we're just doing adding one little thing, but when you first learn it, frequently people think about the breath, you know, rising, falling. It's not real subtle. It's there all the time, and you can focus on it. You can notice the sensations as you inhale, as you exhale, and that's wonderful. Then you kind of move maybe to sensations. You might notice your feet on the floor. You might notice a pain in your knee. There might be sound, maybe a cool breeze. Maybe you're too hot. All the sense things that can happen, you're mindful of those. And then it gets a little more subtle, like thoughts and emotions, which are harder to tune into, but with practice you can. And then I think one of the more subtle things to pay attention to is whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Every moment of contact, when anything hits one of the senses, Buddha said that there's either pleasantness, unpleasantness, or neutrality right in that moment. And that's very subtle to pay attention to. But I think you can, most of you probably have. Now, this knowing quality, I put at the same level of subtleness as the pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. So if you're sitting there watching the rising of the abdomen as you inhale, can you notice the little thing inside that knows that that's happening? When you exhale, can you focus in on the thing that knows that that's happening? And I call it the knowing quality. Some people call it being. I mean, there's other names for it, but there's a thing that's always there. I mean, whether you notice or not, it's always there. It's this quiet thing that's there no matter what. Now, it's more useful when you're first getting used to paying attention to knowing. I think it's useful to stick with the body, like the breath, bodily sensations, because it's subtle enough that if you try to do it with thoughts or emotions, my experience is that it's much harder then. So stick with the body if you want to do this. So what are the qualities of this knowing? If, you know, I really want you to find out for yourself, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, and then, you know, maybe you'll agree or have some other way of thinking about it. But if you get down to the thing that knows that you're inhaling, the thing that knows that the dog's barking, the thing that knows that your knee has a twitch in it, it's incredibly quiet. It's still, it's quiet, it's unchanging, it's unperturbable, and it's always that way. And one thing that I strongly suggest is that try to notice that knowing when something bad has happened, and just see if, does that change the quality of the knowing? Let's say you have a terrible pain in your back, so clearly it's bad, and you sit there and you hone in on the knowing. The knowing is still quiet, unchanging, calm, even though this awful pain is happening in your back. What about when there's something good happening? Like maybe you're hot and there's a cool breeze, or maybe you're witnessing a sunset. So is this knowing going to change? No, the knowing is exactly the same. It's still, it's quiet, it's unchanging, unperturbable. It's an interesting thing to tune into. And also if something is happening that's neutral, same thing. The qualities of this knowing never change. And so there's this constant. Most of our lives are not constant. We have things happening, coming up, down, good, bad. The knowing is just calm, straight. So before, I want to talk about it a little bit more, but I thought I'd give you a chance just to give it a little bit of a try. We're not going to break into groups or anything. Just try it with, so it looks like most people are sitting down. What if you pay attention to your butt touching your chair? So if you sit there, and we're not going to make this a long meditation, but just you can feel that sensation. What is it that knows that your butt's touching the chair? So you're mindful of the sensation, and then you dig a little bit deeper, and there's a knowing quality, the thing that knows. Now try shifting your attention to your feet, touching the floor or whatever they're touching. So again, there's the sensation. You can be mindful of the sensation of your feet touching whatever they're touching. Is it possible to tune in your mind to the knowing quality? What is it that knows that your feet are touching the floor? Let's try one more. Wherever you are, there's probably some kind of sound. Maybe a fan or a refrigerator or a dog or maybe just internal sounds. So focus in on the sounds. Normally with basic mindfulness, you might even make a mental note, hearing. And can you dig a little deeper and find the knowing quality that's associated with the sound? Okay, so that's all I wanted to do in the middle of this. It could be that many of you have already done this in the past, and I'm just bringing it up again as something to focus on. How many of you are able to touch, even if just briefly, a little bit of what might be that knowing thing that's going on? But just show me if you... Okay, so there's a lot. And, as is true with most things in the spiritual realm, the talking about them and coming up with a word is sometimes harder than even experiencing it. So knowing quality might not be the same word other people use. I know some people might have used the word being or presence in a deep sense. But to me, and I've been meditating quite a bit extra since this virus thing also, and I've been spending a lot of time trying to focus on that knowing. And it's helping, because I just notice the same calm quietness all the time. And believe me, there's good things that have happened, bad things that have happened, and it's the same. Another thing that I like about this is I think it gets you more, or at least for me, I'll just speak for myself, it puts me more in touch with the now. You know, we talk about being in the present moment, and that's wonderful. And with this, I think you can get really intimate with the present moment. Because the now, the knowing quality, never happens any other time than now. It's not like you can remember, you know, the now quality happens if you're having a thought of remembering, but it's not in the past, it's not in the future. The now, the knowing quality is always right now. And if you notice the knowing quality, and then, so let's say you're watching an inhale, then you're watching an exhale. The exhale, the now quality is there right at the time that that exhale is happening, right at that fraction of a second. And it just again and again and again and again, now, now, now. Because knowing only happens in the present moment. And so it's a way to sort of tap into the present moment and stay there, at least for a while. You know, your mind will wander like all of our minds wander. But it's a way to get closer to the present moment, for me, than just noticing mindfulness. It is a form of mindfulness, but it's a little bit deeper. There's another thing about this. It seems to me, from talking to other people that have experimented with this, that this is the one thing that we all have in common. Maybe not the one thing, but it's one of the main things we have in common. Every one of us, if we get down to the knowing quality, I believe that the knowing quality is the same for me as it is for any of you or any people that aren't here. The content of our minds is totally different. The content of the rooms we're in, the things we're thinking about, how our body feels, the circumstances we have, it's all different. The knowing quality, which is calm, still, quiet, unperturbable, is the same in me as it is in everybody. And it's interesting that we can each tap into something that is the same as other people. In fact, I think it's one of the things we all have in common is that sort of that knowing sense. We don't pay attention to it very often, but that's what I'm sort of inviting people to do tonight. Of course, everything you've ever done has been in the present moment. You've heard that before. And I love that. I think thinking about that more and more deeply, you know, is important. Sure, you can say, yes, everything's in the present moment, but can you keep going layer, 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 lower, lower, and dig down into what it really means to be in the present moment? You've never done anything that hasn't been in the present moment. Everything that's ever occurred to you, good, bad, or indifferent, has always been in the present moment. And the knowing quality is there. And so paying attention to the knowing quality just can tie you in to the present moment, which I think is a really good thing. Another thing, where is the I? If you really tap into the knowing quality and you're just paying attention to it, is there a sense of I or me with that? My experience is there is not. It's just there's a knowing, and it's not my knowing. It's not me knowing it. It's just knowing. And so the self part, the no self part, can kind of flourish in this environment where it's not me. And I think that's another thing that comes from this. So let's see. There's something else I wanted to say from this, my favorite guy, Nisargadatta. So one of his teachers was, one of his students was asking him questions. And he said, the questioner says, but what can I do here and now? You know, there'd already been a long conversation. And the student's getting a little frustrated. What can I do? He says, you can be aware of your being here and now. And I think he's talking about the same thing, just being aware of the being. So the questioner says, that's all? Sort of like, why are you feeding me this platitude thing? He says, he answers, says, that is all. There's nothing more to it. Question, well, all my waking and dreaming, all the time I'm waking and dreaming, I'm conscious of myself. It doesn't help me much. It says, you are aware of thinking, feeling, and doing. You are not aware of your being. So if you can switch from just paying attention to, in his words, thinking, feeling, and doing, to just being or knowing, I think that's another level that can can take you pretty far. And he says a similar thing again a little bit later. He says, find the permanent in the fleeting, the one constant factor in every experience. What is the one constant factor in every experience? It's that you're there, and there's this knowing thing. There's the knowing and being in that experience. And it doesn't matter what the experience is, good, bad, or boring, that's the common factor. And it's a common factor in all the experiences I have, and it's a common factor in all the experiences you have. And I think it's a very worthwhile thing to meditate on, to spend a little time just seeing if you can find that and stay with it. And my experience is the more you try to do that, the better you get at it. Just like everything else. If the first day you meditated, someone said, oh, pay attention to your thoughts. You know, most people aren't very good at it. You start with the breath and you move to sensations. And then eventually, as you build up your ability to be mindful, being mindful of thoughts is okay. You can kind of do it. And then this is another thing to pay attention to that I think is a worthwhile thing. So that was really what I wanted to talk about tonight, just the knowing. And I hope that it helps some of you sometime. And what I'm gonna do is we're gonna meditate. I think we can, I don't know if people need to take a quick break or just stand up for a minute or two, whatever you need to do. And are there any people here who are brand new to meditation? I think I recognize pretty much everybody, so I don't think that that's true. Okay, so there's no need for any detailed instruction, but what I will do is I'll do a short little instruction, and then I'll try to encourage you or invite you to pay attention to the knowing. And then throughout the meditation, every once in a while, I might re-invite you, remind you, because I know whenever I'm doing a meditation and there's somebody leading it, if every once in a while they just say just a couple of words about coming back, then if I'm sort of lost in California or on the moon or wherever my mind is taking me, it kind of brings me back and I say, oh, okay. So I'll give it about another minute for people to come back from their break. And then what we're going to do, we'll do about a half an hour meditation. Then we'll take another very short break and do metta, as is our normal way. Then we'll take a longer break, and then anybody who wants to stick around for discussion can do so. And if that's not something that works for you tonight, then you can leave at that time. I love these mute buttons so that if you're meditating and you tend to snore when you fall asleep, we won't hear you. You know, I've been in some longer retreats where people do tend to snore sometimes. Because, you know, if you're at a long retreat, you wake up early, you go to bed late. And, you know, sometimes the person next to you falls asleep. Well, there was a rule. They usually would even mention it the first day or the first week. And they'd say, yeah, you know, if the person next to you is snoring, you have the permission of the teachers to just kind of just give them a little soft little elbow and kind of wake them up a little bit. If you don't want to do that, then just pay attention to listening. Hearing. Okay. Well, I think we probably have had enough time here. So get into your meditative posture. It's good to have your back fairly straight, but not rigid. Relax your body. Maybe take a deep breath and let it out. first yoga teacher I ever had gave me this next hint, and I've used it for a long time. One way to relax yourself is to first notice your toes. Let your toes be relaxed. Then your tongue. Let your tongue be loose in the mouth. Then the forehead. Muscles around the eyes. For a short time, just pay attention to sound. Notice the sounds in your room or the sounds in your body. For sound, all you have to do is pay attention. The sounds arise and pass away on their own. Now with that same open, allowing frame of mind, bring your attention to the sensations of the breath. Of course, as you meditate, mind has a tendency to wander, will wander. Whenever you notice the mind has wandered, just bring it back to the breath. Some people use mental note, rising, falling, and in, out, to help keep the mind focused on the breath. My favorite technique for focusing on the breath is that of connecting and sustaining one half breath at a time. For instance, at the beginning of a breath, connect to the sensations of the breath and sustain that attention all the way to the end of that inhale. At the beginning of the exhale, connect your attention to the sensations. Stay with those sensations all the way to the end of that exhale. So you're paying attention one half breath at a time. So now that you're a bit focused on the breath, experiment with trying to find knowing quality. And paying attention to the sensations as you inhale and exhale. Can you recognize or tap into or find that thing that knows that you're aware of those sensations? See if you can. If possible, investigate this knowing quality. Not by thinking about it or creating sentences or words, just by experiencing the knowing. And just continue on with your normal meditation and expand from the breath to other physical sensations, sound. Thoughts arise, can you be aware of the thoughts? Whatever you normally do, but when you become mindful of something, see if you can notice a little knowing quality that's in any of the things that you're mindful of.
What's happening right now for you? And be mindful of it. Can you experience that thing that knows? So in the last few minutes of the meditation, just try again and see if you can pay attention to that thing that knows what's happening right now. So now we'll do a metta loving kindness meditation. If you'd like to just stand up for just a minute, stretch a bit, get comfortable, feel free. We'll take a longer break after the metta. think the metta meditation might be more powerful and more useful in the current situation, given that there's a lot of people having troubles. And so if everyone's back, then go ahead and again sit in your comfortable meditative positions. Sometimes people like to lay back or lay down for this one. You sit, I like to sit up, but it's up to you. There's a lot of ways to do this meditation. I'm going to do the traditional way that I was taught. Say some phrases. Try to bring the meaning of the phrases up within yourself. So first, start with yourself. We're going to wish different people well, and we're going to start with ourselves. So bring yourself to mind. May I be happy and peaceful. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I be healthy and strong. May I be full of loving kindness. May I be happy and peaceful. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I be healthy and strong. May I be full of loving kindness. Next, bring to mind someone we sometimes call a mentor, a person that's easy to feel good feelings towards, someone who's been almost all helpful to you. So think of one such person and wish them well. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy and strong. May you be full of loving kindness. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy and strong. May you be full of loving kindness. Now bring to mind someone that's often referred to as a neutral person. Someone you may see frequently in your life, but you don't have strong feelings for or against them. Think of one such person, bring them to mind. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy and strong. May you be full of loving kindness. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy and strong. May you be full of loving kindness. And next, bring to mind someone we sometimes refer to as a difficult person. Doesn't have to be your worst enemy. Someone perhaps you're having a little bit of difficulty with currently. Bring that person to mind and wish them well. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy and strong. May you be full of loving kindness. May you be happy and peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be healthy and strong. May you be full of loving kindness. And so now, finally, I'd like you to expand your feelings of loving kindness, first of all, to everyone in the group who's joined us here tonight. Most of them from various spots in Flagstaff, perhaps further. And expand to all of Flagstaff. Expand your sphere of loving kindness to the entire country, the entire United States, and to all the people on this planet. All the living things on this planet, whether they're in the water, in the land, on the land, fly through the air, and then all beings beyond this planet, so all beings everywhere. Let's wish loving kindness to all beings. May all beings everywhere be happy and peaceful. May all beings be safe from inner and outer harm. May all beings be healthy and strong. May all beings be full of loving kindness. May all beings be happy and peaceful. May all beings be safe from inner and outer harm. May all beings be healthy and strong. May all beings be full of loving kindness. Wish all beings well.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.